You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Two Amigos, now stationed under the Dolphins Talk Podcasting banner. My name is Carter, and we have someone with me.
Hey, man, how you doing? It's great to be here. It's great to be here at our new home. I'm very excited about this new season. I'm Jorge Hinojosa. I'm 31 years old. I'm a Dolphins fan since I was 8 years old, and I played my first video game. I picked them, and it's a decision I've never regretted since, even though it's been painful a couple of times. I'm a huge Dolphin. I think I'm a fan that is very optimistic, but also likes to keep it real and keep it very reasonable. And I'm very excited to be here and have two amigos over at this new home, man.
We're under the Dolphins Talk podcasting banner. My name is Carter. And to sum me up a little bit, I was born in Florida and then I moved over to Iowa. I don't know why my family did that to, you know, like kind of spite me or something. And when I was in, you know, Iowa schooling, everyone just kind of did like a melting pot of like choosing their teams. Like some were Vikings fans, some were Packers fans. And I, for some reason, was just like, you know what? I'm going to go back to my roots. I'm going back to my roots and I'm going to be a Dolphins fan because there's no professional team in Iowa. So you can kind of just choose whoever's doing well at the time. And my first season was 2008. It was the Wildcat season. So I picked right at the time.
Yeah. And I know that you've got a big, big jersey collection.
Thank you for pushing me into this. Here's a little behind the scenes tip. This is our second time trying to record this because the first time a bunch of stuff happened. It just fell apart. It was a huge disaster. Jorge was in a panic. My mic wasn't working. So we're just going to show you a little behind the scenes here.
By the way, let me tell you, I went offline for like 30 minutes and I come back and Carter's like in this nightclub with like purple lights. LEDs, like, I don't know what's going on over there, guys.
Yeah, I had like black eye paint on and I also had a bottle of champagne in my hand. No, I just turned on my LEDs. He keeps saying this. I just turned on my LEDs. It's such a cool environment to podcast in. But you know, like you said, yes, you're right. I do have a big jersey collection. I have 13 because if you did the math right, it's 2008 to 2021. I haven't got my new one yet. It'll be the 14th. And I'm thinking maybe Miles Gaskin. Maybe Xavier Howard. I don't know which one I'm going to pick. What do you think?
I will say this to our new listeners. The guys that have been with us for a while know this, but Carter Melrose is Miles Gaskin number one fan. So Miles, if you listen to this,
yes,
please get in touch and you know come on the show. By the way, I will say this. I've got Miles Gaskin's phone number because I used it for my master's.
No. Thesis.
So yes, if you're very, very good, I might never, ever give it to you because I promise I never would do that. But yeah, I'm going to try to reach out to him and see if he wants to come on.
Let me first get the phone number and send him a shirtless photo. I don't know, you know, maybe we become friends. Maybe he just gives me workout tips.
What kind
of
friends do you have that you send them shirtless pictures to be friends with them?
If we're close friends.
I'm seriously concerned. I never want to be close friends with you ever again, if that's the case.
Okay, but yes, you're right. I am the huge Miles Gaskin stan. And it all started like literally last season. And people going to the draft were like, oh my God, I can't wait till we draft Najee Harris. And I was praying, absolutely praying, that we would just pick someone else so Miles Gaskin could have his shot at the number one overall slot. And he does this season. So that's fantastic. Moving on into our first little segment here. What I want you to just throw to you, Jorge. Talk about the preseason a little bit. Talk about expectations. What are you looking at? What are you seeing?
So it's great, right? I mean, we saw Tua in week two. He looked fantastic. He looked the part. He was quick. He was decisive. Clearly, he trusts the hip now, which wasn't the case last year. He was mobile. He was moving up in the pocket. He was making good reads. You know, I think hope is back in Dolphins fandom, right? And I think the expectations have to be reasonable, right, guys? We've got, in my mind, the number one team in the AFC East in our division. That's the Buffalo Bills. And yes, I do think I do rank them higher than the Kansas City and Cleveland right now.
Wow.
And they're going to be a challenge. All right. They're going to be a big challenge both times. Then we open with a gauntlet, you know, New England, Buffalo. Then we've got, I think, the Raiders. Then we've got Colts and then Buccaneers. So those first 5 weeks are going to be, you know, tough. And there's no easy Sunday in the NFL. I think our defense is going to be very good. I think our defense is going to be a top five unit. I think our offense is going to surprise people. I think it's definitely going to be a top half unit, if not top 10 at some point in the year as well. I think the weapons are there. Devontae Parker, it's a very, very deep wide receiver room. I mean, Isaiah Ford started week 17 for this team, and he was just caught during day two of the cuts. So that tells you how deep this unit is, right? Isaiah Ford, Devante Parker, Jalen Waddle, but Preston Williams is coming back from injury. Albert Wilson is back. Lynn Bowden was put in IR. I'm a big fan of his and I still have hopes for him. Jakeem Grant's there. Matt Collins is there. So, you know, it's a very deep room and I have high expectations for this offensive unit, but I do think the defense is going to carry this team this year.
Oh, wow. It's just going to be a replay of last year is your point. Okay, whatever.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the offense is going to be good and it's going to grow to be very good in the second half of the season. But if you're talking which of our units is the strongest right now, I think you'd agree with me that the defense is still stronger than the offense.
Yeah, and I heard the defense tore up this last week. They just decimated the offense, which is great. They seem like they're in season form. I would say this preseason, probably what I had been waiting for or looking at is just, you know, making sure that Tua's comfy, comfy in the pocket. Yeah. You know, he's doing all those little step ups that are sexy as hell. And I'm loving it. I'm loving watching Tua move in the pocket. And he looks so comfortable. And I hope at the very least he could be a great facilitator as he sort of was last season. But I want him to be able to throw that deep ball. I think that's what we as Dolphin fans want to see more than anything, because we got
the playbook. The playbook we've seen in the first 2 weeks is a lot better and a little better suited for Tua than what we did last year.
Oh, yeah. Right? Well,
it's also a 21st century playbook, which we didn't have last year.
But didn't Chan kind of admit that he kind of didn't want Tua to play and like it wasn't built
look,
for him?
I don't know. I know we had a running joke in this show about Chan Gailey and whether we loved or hated him.
Yeah.
I think we're deep now into hate territory just because he was awful in his press release saying basically I didn't want to play Tua. I was basically forced and I didn't trust the kid. And Fitz was the second coming of, you know, Dan Marino and he should have played the whole thing. And I think Fitz has also made some mistakes in his statements and he's erased a lot of the, you know, goodwill this fan base had towards him.
Yeah. Don't get me started on Fitz throwing us under the bus for no reason, like a year later, but I'll say this. Okay. Yeah. Tua, the playbook's looking a lot prettier. And as long as we have this is what I wanted to see. I wanted to see that rack in the preseason. And we've seen a little bit of rack. We've seen a little rack from Kirk Merritt, breaking out like Odell in some of these plays.
Kirk Merritt, he's one of the guys that I hope the Dolphins find a way to keep either, in practice squad or on the roster, because I think that kid's going to be a player in this league.
No, I think so for sure. I think he's got the guts and he's got the tools. And the thing with the rest of the roster, we do look fast. You know, Albert Wilson, you know, is fast and he's back. Waddle is the fastest thing since sliced bread. I don't know if that's an expression, but we look fast and we look like we can hit a deep shot again, especially when Will Fuller is back. So I loved seeing in the preseason that we just look fast again. And Miami is going to be a raceway. I tell you that much.
It's going to be hard for the defenses to actually defend this unit, because if you've got one on one side, Fuller on the other, they're both running nines. They're taking the safety off the top. Or if you leave them one on one, they're just going to run past a cornerback most of the time. And then you've got Gesicki coming down the middle, you know, in that 15 to 20 yard range. And then you've got Ahmed and Gaskin coming out of the backfield. And you've got Albert Wilson in the slot. I mean, it's a very, very good team.
No. And someone literally was posting the Madden ratings on our wide receivers. And I guess we have either the fastest or the top three fastest wide receiving core in the entire NFL. And last year, as we remember, we probably had one of the slowest. So that's a big upgrade, because think of a Will Fuller, Jalen Waddle, and Albert Wilson.
Grant as well, who looks like he might actually stay on the roster more as a returner, but he's still extremely fast. And I think he's still one of the top returners in the league. I mean, we have to be, I'm not the biggest Jakeem fan. You know, I've criticized him a lot last year with the drops. I think he is somewhat responsible for the narrative around Tua during the offseason that is now changing. But I do think he's one of the top returners in the game.
I have no idea how he is. Honestly, I don't know how he's still on the roster, but I don't think he's going to ever be the utility player that we wanted him to be at some point, like that Tyreek Hill utility player. But one thing I will say is I love seeing Jalen Waddle have that awesome return in the first game, and then it kind of become a competition. Jakeem Grant had took it personally, and he said, I'm the big boy. I'm the alpha male here. And he had an amazing return that game too. So I love seeing that. We're going to do some true or false, all right? I'm going to give you some true or false. You tell me if it's true or false. And then why, of course. So Tua versus the Falcons this last Saturday, which is probably the most we're going to see him in preseason play. Does it prove that this is going to be the biggest breakout of his friggin' life?
I wouldn't say true, but I do have a caveat. I think it's going to be the biggest upgrade so far. Yeah. I have high expectations for Tua. I think he's one of those very cerebral players that is going to get better the more defenses he faces. So I think his jump from year two to year three is going to be better than this one. But I would say so far, it's going to be the biggest jump we've seen from, you know, just looking at him from college to the NFL with the injury and everything. I think he looks healthy. He looks decisive. He's comfortable. Finally, I think in his body again. So yeah, I've got a high expectations for him.
Yes, like we said, he looks comfy. And that's the most important thing I have to say with Tua is that he just did not look comfortable last year. And for obvious reasons, there were so many reasons he shouldn't have been comfortable. And that's good enough for me. And he's making the throws. He still's got the accuracy. And we shall see where it goes. All right, another true or false. We got too many cooks in the kitchen here. We got too many cooks in the kitchen here when it comes to wide receiver. True or false? I mean, who's actually going to perform? That's my follow-up, kind of. Who's going to actually perform in this room?
Look, that's the thing, right? I mean, we saw it with the defense last year. They adapted and they changed who was the guy blitzing, who was the guy doing this and that. And I think it's going to be very similar this year with the offense. I think for some games when you need like a bigger wide receiver, you're going to see Matt Collins and Devontae Parker just pulling those defensive backs. When we are, you know, just need that speed underneath and stuff, then Waddle and Albert Wills will be the guys that week. Then you've got Gaskin, then you've got Gesicki, you've got Ahmed. I mean, there's a bunch of players on this offense. The good thing is that we don't seem to have a diva kind of guy in that room. So I think they're going to be happy to adapt and just, you know, feed off each other.
Yeah, I think this is absolutely true that we have too many cooks, though. And I think, like, we're once again, there's not going to be a very high rated wide receiver for us next season on Madden, because we're going to have like four or five wide receivers, including Gesicki, that have like 650 yards. Exactly. I think it's going to spread the ball so thinly that no one's going to look like they're amazing, but it's going to be so hard to stop all of them. And I think that's gonna be cool.
What we're saying basically is if you play fantasy football, it's going to be a week-to-week thing if you've got Dolphins players.
Yes, you have to almost like guess who's going to go off this week, because I think it could be anyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and let us remember that I actually guessed when Matt Collins was going to get their first touchdown last year, so listen to my fantasy advice.
Okay, well, that's a shameless plug, but I'll let you do it. All right. And final, true or false, and this one might be a little controversial. I don't know. It's on the nose. Someone needs to lock Austin Jackson out of the stadium. He had another game versus
Against
with
the
Falcons, 30 grade.
No, he looked. Wait. Let's look at this. Okay. I know the grades weren't great. All right. Yeah. I will concede that. But if you look at the film, he did enough against the Falcons to help his offense.
Right.
All right. And I, you know, from what I saw during the practice reports this week, particularly from Travis Wingfield, is that, you know, yesterday the defensive unit dominated the offensive line. But today, on individuals, during the first team practice session, the offensive line went 5-0 against the starting defensive unit. So I think they're going to get better. And I think this coaching staff has proven they are able to coach up players. I think they've got Little now as well. Greg Little from the Panthers. He was, you know, he's a former second round pick. He's now also in, and he's very similar to Austin Jackson with that athletic upside. So, you know, one of the two of them has to actually prove that they can actually make the jump into the NFL. I still have high hopes for Austin Jackson. I have hopes for Little. And I also think that if Liam Eikenberg proves to be a solid, you know, blindside protector for Tua, you know, remember that Tua is a lefty, then Jesse Davis can actually be that left tackle.
Yeah, I think this is a false for me, an easy false, because we as a fan base are, believe it or not, really impatient. We're really impatient and we're really mean. Because Austin Jackson, when we drafted him, I just want to say this.
We are not the only fan base like that, right? Well, fan bases all around the league are mean. And if you go to another sport, and I will tell you, you know, Twitter, you know, the soccer tweets in Mexico are basically the same. And it's not about the fan base. It's just about the fanatics that just, you know, are just bad people.
Okay, good. That's fair. There's mean people across the planet. Thank you for being the light of that situation. But the thing when I have to say this about Austin Jackson is that when we drafted him, we remember that he was a project. That was the whole idea. He was super raw. Yeah. And that he had all of these, I think he had like bone marrow things. He had like a bunch of issues that would hold him back we said he was super athletic, he was super raw, and that we, you know, eventually he would be that guy for us. And I think, you know, him playing poorly in a preseason in his second year after, you know, the rookie year was just the COVID year, you have to give this guy patience just like you give Tua patience.
Absolutely. And I think he's still, I mean, he's a first rounder for a reason. I think, you know, Chris Greer has earned the benefit of the doubt with his scouting eyes. I understand that the offensive line is a source of frustration for a lot of people, but you know, they picked Robert Hunt, who's going to be an all pro. I mean, everyone can see that he's going to be an all pro at guard someday, right? Michael Dieter finally developed into a starting caliber offensive lineman. All right. So let's just give him time. I think that left side is actually going to look pretty solid. I do think that the right side is going to be the strength of that line.
Yeah, and I think that's fair, and I think everyone kind of sees that. So, all right, well, let's go down to our second, basically our one of our last segments of the show. We got some bold predictions. I accumulated from different websites a bunch of bold predictions that people made about the Dolphins. You tell me if you agree or disagree with this bold prediction. Ready?
Okay.
Okay, so the first bold prediction we have is from FanSided. And this was probably the most controversial. The Dolphins aren't going to be very good next season. The franchise never believed in Tua, and we have a hard time believing they will now. And the last sentence is all about how they kind of, you know, Fitz had to come in for him and be his babysitter in the last couple games. What do you think?
I'm not sure if we're allowed to curse on this on our new host site, but I will say that that's just ridiculous, right? If they didn't believe in Tua, why did they pick him? Right. With Herbert still on the board.
Right.
I mean, that's for starters, right? This franchise believes in Tua. Flores has taken almost a fatherly relationship with him. Right. And that's not me talking. That's been Flores saying, we're in touch every day. We talk about different things. We have dinner, blah, 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 blah. Right. They believe in Tua. But Brian Flores also believes in winning. And last year, and, you know, I know Tua took a lot of heat for this, but when he said, like, I didn't know the playbook well enough, a receiver came out and said, well, they had two different playbooks, right? And Tua's playbook didn't have the 2-minute offense installed in it. So how is he going to learn something that's not in his playbook, right?
Yeah.
And that's why they put Fitz in for the last 2 minutes, because he actually had the 2-minute offense installed in his playbook. So I think the Dolphins are 100% behind Tua. I think they're going to be very good. I think our defense is going to be top five. And as I said before, I think the offense is going to open some eyes down the, you know, down the line.
Yeah. And I'm really tired of like anybody, ESPN guys, like everyone and their mother going, well, if they really believed in them, why'd they put Fitz in? I'm really tired of this narrative because, I mean, just one, like we said, Coach Flo wants to win. And guess what? Fitz was just a better player at the time. And that's okay. And I think that's okay. And also, guess what? A 17-year vet or whatever he is should be better than a rookie. He should be.
And so, he should be better than a rookie, especially if that rookie, you know, had an injury, had no preseason because of COVID and because of the injury, and was just coming back into shape.
Right. Literally had nothing going for him. And we still do this. Oh, Fitz came in and be his babysitter. I'm just done with the narrative. Okay. So the next bold prediction I got from you is from Bleacher Report. And they say, Will Fuller will not crack 650 receiving yards. Tua's greatest strengths come in the short game to intermediate passing. Fuller's
Did
ability
they watch
to go
Tua
deep.
Alabama?
Fuller's ability to go deep will be nice, but it won't lead to big numbers for him.
Fuller's going to get over the 600 yards. I would say he'll be close to the 1,000. I think he's going to break that 1,000 because, as you mentioned, we've got a lot of cooks in the kitchen. But
yeah.
I do think that, you know, his speed over the top is going to help Tua. It's going to clear the field for the guys underneath. But I also think that if you get Fuller a slant inside and there's no one to make the tackle instantly, he's going to take it 20, 30, 40 yards to the house. All right.
Right.
So no, I think Tua's strengths will actually complement Fuller's strengths quite nicely this year.
Yeah. And don't people realize that Will Fuller is our best wide receiver? Like right now, as it stands, I think immediately he comes in, as long as he's healthy, he's the best wide receiver on this roster.
Absolutely.
I think he is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And that's the thing. His one thing, did you see those tweets about how, like, when Will Fuller's on the field for Deshaun Watson and when he's off the field, I mean, Deshaun Watson plays like a little baby if he doesn't have Will Fuller. He just does. And now that Tua's got that little blanket where this guy can literally beat any corner off the line, I mean, of course, the deep shot's going to be there.
And I think the question with Fuller, as is the question with all the receivers in that room, is availability, right? Yeah. I was just in a debate on Twitter, and I know, look, I love Preston Williams, right? I'm the kid's number one fan. Yeah. But I also think that half the, you know, 50% of your job is actually showing up. If you're injured for 50% of the time, then you could be the most talented guy, but then I don't value you as much as if you're available. All right. And look, I think that's the question with everyone, right? Is Devante Parker going to be able to play all 17 games? Is Will Fuller going to be able to play all the 16 games that he's eligible to play? Is Jalen Waddle going to be okay? That's the question with that unit.
Yeah, and I remember talking to you about this and also writing an article about this, about how the Dolphins have the probably the worst NFL wide receiving room for injury purposes. Like Devante Parker hasn't played many games in his career, honestly. He's played about half of his games. Will Fuller, you know, he's missed full seasons for ACL injuries and also like off the field stuff. We also know that Preston Williams, he literally just can't stay healthy, and it goes down the line. And Jalen Waddle's been hurt about five times in training camp. So hopefully we stay, you know, together here. But if Will Fuller is on the field, he's our best wide receiver and he gets over 650 yards.
Yeah.
Okay. So going into this, I want to say, what do you want to see from the Dolphins Bengals game? The third game, last game, right before the season starts. What do you think?
The most important thing is I want to see anyone hurt.
Right.
Like, no one. If someone trips going into a stadium, you sit him down for the rest of the game. Right. I don't want anyone stepping on anything, just nothing. Right. I want to see the guys that are fighting for a roster spot. I want to see that those linebackers in the second and third teams. I want to see Duval K. Ross. I'm very intrigued by him. He's been with the Dolphins for 3 years now. He started as a defensive tackle. He's in the international pathway program. They switched him to offensive lineman. It was his first game action last week, and he looked actually pretty solid. And obviously, he's raw. Obviously, you can tell he's not as experienced as the other guys, but he's big, he's strong, and I'm very curious to see what he does. I want to see the starting offensive line continue to gel. I want to see that, you know, Davis at left tackle, Eichenberg at right tackle set up.
Right.
And I want to see Javon Holland. Hopefully he's going to be able to go, but he might not. I'll wait for the season. I think we've got a deep defense, and I want to see those guys in the second, you know, the second unit, third unit, just really make plays out there.
Yeah, that is, I mean, for me, for the preseason, I'm looking at no injuries as well. Believe it or not, I'm looking at no injuries as well. I don't even want Tua to come to the game. I want him to be on the couch at home. I don't want him. He can watch the game and watch the film. I don't care. But I've seen enough from Tua. I'm done with him. I'm also done with Miles Gaskin. I'm done with Jalen Waddle. Everyone, sit down. I'm done. I've seen enough. Also, the defense is in their bag right now, so I don't want to see anything from them either. But so then it comes to, right, I want to see Kirk Merritt play some more football. And believe it or not, I love the third string quarterback for the Dolphins. Do you know who Reed Sinnott is? Jorge,
I do know who routine it is, and I know he's our third string. I know you had some weird connection to him at some point. I'm not even gonna ask.
Yes, I do.
I think he's gonna be in the practice squad.
Well, yes, I hope so, because all of my best friends went to high school with him because he's from Iowa, and they know him very, very closely. And so we watch all of the third, you know, last week we watched the entire Falcons Dolphins action with Reed Sinnott at quarterback. And he had some a dope back shoulder touchdown at one point. So
here's my question. Why in the world are we not having him as a guest in the show?
Oh my gosh, I should get him as a guest. That's right. That's a good point. I'm going to get Reed as a guest. That's our new thing. That's my new thing. I'm going to get Reed as a guest.
I like it.
Okay, but let's head to the final thing we have to talk about on this podcast. And because we're a debate show, we love debating. We didn't do a lot of debating this one. We're just trying to be civil as we open up the new show on DolphinsTalk.com. But, dude, we got to talk about Colin Coward just for a second, and I want to hear what you think. We've known about him. Probably the most hated, Dolphins, or at least top five most hated Dolphins Nation person. What's your thoughts on him? What's your thoughts on anyone who is mean to Tua, basically?
Look, I think, I think about this. I think there's people that are Tua fans, there's people that are Dolphins fans, and there are people that are both. I think any team is going to be protective of their quarterback most of the time, unless you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan. In that case, you hate them. I think Colin's been off base. I think his attacks have been completely unsubstantiated. They almost seem personal to me. I think they're They're mean spirited. And I think he's trying to get engagement from the Dolphins fans, and he's getting it, right? I mean, he's not being objective, but at the same time, if you listen to him this week, and if you listen to Sims, who was also a big critic of Tua during the offseason, and you hear them now, they're like, oh no, Tua's, he's playing well. He, you know, he passed the eye test and he's going to lead the Dolphins to the playoffs. They can certainly win with Tua, right? They're starting to change the narrative because they're seeing what we are seeing on the field, right? So I think, you know, it's, I understand that, you know, media today is led by clicks, and that's what Colin is looking for. And, you know, Colin, I know you're going to listen to the show because obviously you are our number one fan. we'd love to have you on board and come here and explain your views and try to win the Dolphins fan base over.
He definitely is our number one fan. Thank you for bringing that up. And that's why
Chan Gailey was our number one fan last year.
Last year, yeah, it was Chan Gailey. And now we have Colin Cowherd in our DMs literally all the time. I tried to block him and he made a couple burner accounts and got around the
And
the
he's
system.
Not even subtle. It's like, not Colin.
Yeah.
Like, we know it's you, right?
It's not Colin Cowherd. I promise it's not you. Okay. So the thing is, though, I obviously disagree. He's one of my favorite guys to listen to, and obviously because of that reason of that he is trying to get clicks and he's trying to get some controversial things stirred up, I appreciate that about him. But one thing is, he has been consistent about one thing, that the Dolphins have a top five defense. He always says that Coach Flo is a top five coach in the NFL. He always says that, and that this team is going to go to the playoffs. He says that too. The one thing he says, Tua's not a superstar. And like you said, it's probably because, you know, Tua's everyone's baby and we just can't see him get picked on. You got anything, Jorge, on the way out?
I've got nothing, but I do have, I do have something. I have a question for you.
Sure.
Is there any player on this Dolphins roster right now that you think is going to get traded before week one?
I know that you have an answer. Let me try my answer first. I've seen your answer on Twitter, and it's really stirred up a lot of crap. People haven't loved it, honestly. People haven't loved what you've been doing. But I personally would say that it would have to be one of the wide receivers, honestly. It would have to be like we got the too many cooks going on. So you got to do like, I don't know, Jakeem Grant. You got to do like Albert Wilson. I don't know if you can get a ton for those wide receivers, but you know, it's got to be in the too many cooks era. So now go to your controversial take.
I think it's going to be, I think there's, look, if there's one guy that I think has some value to other teams that could get the Dolphins starter for the season or a, you know, relatively high pick, so a third rounder, second rounder, is Devante Parker.
There it is.
All right. And I think Devante Parker is a great receiver, and I defended him a lot last year. I still think he's very talented. The question with him, obviously, is availability. Here's the thing. We talked about Will Fuller's skill set complementing Tua. I'm not sure if Devante Parker does. Devante Parker is a guy that loves to high point the ball, go up there, win it in, you know, a contested ball. But Tua doesn't like throwing those contested balls.
Right.
Tua doesn't throw those contested balls. He throws it where you're going to be so you're able to run after the catch.
Yeah.
And even though Devante Parker has shown that he can do that, it's not what he does best.
Yeah.
And when you've got a room that has Albert Wilson, Jalen Waddle, Will Fuller, Mac Hollins, Jakeem Grant, even Preston Williams, they're all players that are better at the yards after catch. And let me tell you why I love Mac Hollins as a wide receiver, and even though I'm not his biggest fan in that area, he's a great run blocker. And whenever the Dolphins bounce the ball outside, you need your wide receivers to block. And Mac Hollins is a great blocker for a wide receiver. He's better than Devante Parker at it. So I think if there's one guy that sticks out like a sore thumb in that room that I could see him being moved, is Devante Parker.
Oh boy. And I remember looking at this tweet and going, ooh, he's going to start something. He's going to start something with all the Dolphins fans.
Look, so far, I'm on point, by the way. Everyone that I said was going to get caught has been caught.
Right.
Lynn Bowden with the only exception. He was actually moved to the IR instead. So, you know, I don't know. It's just the way I look at it. And again, this is no hate on Devante Parker.
Right.
I don't want to be, you know, tagged as a Devante Parker hater. I love the guy. I think he's a great wide receiver. I just think that his skill set do not necessarily complement Tua's as much as the other guys. And with a limited number of roster spots that you're going to spend on that unit, I don't see how they spend it on Devante Parker.
And honestly, I kind of agree with you too. I was waiting for you to spout off your entire argument before I revealed what I thought about this Devante Parker potential trade. But I think I kind of agree, because without Devante Parker, our offense looks a lot like the Kansas City Chiefs. They just we look like the Chiefs, right? Because Gesicki, maybe his ceiling is not Kelce level, but it's I think it's similar in the passing game. I think maybe Kelce's a better blocker, but I think it could be similar. And then we just have track stars out there. You know, we have a potential Tyreek Hill and we have a potential Mecole Hardman. And I think it just looks very similar to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And, you know, I think that's what we are all seeing. And if you want to, you know, continue with that comparison, we also look like that in the offensive line as the Chiefs looked last year, where you have, you have your starters and then there's a huge drop off to your second unit.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that has to be a concern.
Right. Especially if you're trying to push into the playoffs. So we will see. Fingers crossed. I like the Devontae Parker trade. I don't hate it. That's a good way to end the show, though. Thank you, Jorge, for you know being a part of the Two Amigos transition episode to the DolphinsTalk.com podcasting window.
Yeah, it's great. We're very excited to be here, and we look forward to hearing all the Dolphins Talk readers and listeners tell us why they agree or disagree with you and call us names and stuff like that. But please call Carter the meaner names, not me. I'm sensitive, so.
I honestly am more sensitive than even Jorge. I cry, and I take it personally, and I also like, yeah. It just kind of really comes down on me hard. So, I mean, you know, you pick your battles there, but I think Jorge would be the guy to go after. So,
but we could have also Jorge has absolutely, and I'm going to talk about me in the third person here. Absolutely no qualms about calling you names in Spanish as well.
Yeah.
So if you come at me, be prepared to be called a lot of swear words in Spanish.
Yeah, I know. He switches off what he's tweeting, Spanish or English. He'll do both. So you are going to have fun with him on Twitter. Okay. So thank you. That's our first episode of Two Amigos. We'll see you every single Friday of the season. And that's it. See ya.